Welcome to another edition of Flea Market Fantasy, the world's second greatest Bronze Age era comic book podcast. Joining me this week, he's back. New Larry, new Bob Myers, Kevin Jank.
That's right. I'm back and I am extra janky this week, for sure.
Yeah. Now, Jank, last week we had a New Mutants special edition, 64-page issue.
Oh yeah.
And
those are Chris
Claremont
pages, which, you know, are very long. He likes to pack the words in.
And we were all excited because our buddy Bob Myers was on the show and it was going to be a, you know, a three-way match. And then you tapped out. A work commitment, right?
Busy with that. That is correct. Yeah. Yeah, sadly that got in my way and I was not there to hear you guys besmirch the name of Art Adams, which I did not appreciate. But
listen, I loved him as a kid. It kind of annoyed me as an adult. But
still love him.
Yeah. I will say this though, Jenk. I don't think that was the best Art Adams. You know, it was okay. I've seen that.
I mean, it's not far from the peak of Art Adams, I would say.
probably a couple years later, maybe. That was about 85. Anyway, we're getting off track. We're here this week, Jenk.
Yeah.
You picked us a winner.
Talk about much worse art this week.
Tell us what.
Yeah, we're going to be doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures number 7 by Archie Comics.
Yes, this is not the normal Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series, which we did in year 1 of Flea Market Fantasy.
Yeah, sure did.
This is the Adventures
one, right?
I don't even know. Well, I can't even remember what we did. It was one of the early ones. Yeah, it probably was issue 1, actually. And this series here ran 72 issues from August 1988 to October 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out as adapting episodes of the 1987 animated series.
Yeah, but that's the issue. Is I wanted to pick this series, but it started in 89. The first couple are just adaptations of the TV episodes. And then it kind of started doing its own thing, but then like basically the 90s hit. So according to the rules of this show, I could only have a couple of issues to choose from there.
That's right. But with issue 5, the creators Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird handed the book to Ryan Brown and Stephen Murphy, who started producing original content.
That's right.
And
we're
yeah,
a whole new direction.
Yeah, the creator or the writer here in this issue is Dean Clarain, C-L-A-R-R-A-I-N, but that is a pen name for Stephen Murphy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He didn't want his name on this.
He's like, apparently not. And the artist here is Jim Lawson.
Yeah, that's a sore spot because the art in this comic was much better for the most part in the other issues. It was very cartoony. Oh, wow. It was a lot like the animated series. Unfortunately, we got stuck with him on this issue, and
we'd like to apologize to the Lawson family if they're listening.
Yeah. It's below professional comic grade, I'll say that.
Hey, let's just remind everybody before we really get into this, Jack, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 190 subscribers. So,
wow.
I think we picked up maybe two for the last couple weeks. So, yeah, the goal is 500. We'll get there any day. Any day.
All right. Yep. It'll just pour in at the last second.
So, Jack, for those kids who don't know what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are, why don't you give a quick recap of their entire history? Just tell us what we need to know.
Sure. So the Ninja Turtles in most incarnations, they are 4 baby turtles who were dropped in the sewer by a young boy carrying his turtles home, and there's a nuclear waste or some kind of toxic waste truck coming by.
Isn't it tied into Daredevil?
It's very much a parody of Daredevil. Yeah, what happened to Daredevil, for sure. They couldn't legally say, you know, oh, this is Matt Murdock. And there was no blind man, technically, so, you know, that he was diving to save. So it's slightly different, but, yeah, it's very
basically
much...
basically a radioactive spill off a truck hits these turtles down in the sewer, and they turn into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But they're raised by, instead of Stick, there's a rat down there in the sewer named Splinter. Right?
Yes. Who always has an interesting backstory in most versions where, he was, you know, he was living in Japan, this rat, and his master was murdered in front of him.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah. Luckily, he had learned how ninjutsu by watching his master.
That's right.
Just sitting in the cage doing his little ninja moves. And so when he was exposed to the ooze, he grew into a old wise ninja master, which is very handy. And he taught the ninja, the turtles, the art of ninjutsu.
Yeah. And who are the turtles, Jack? Rattle them off.
We got Raphael, who's my favorite. Michelangelo, Donatello, and Leonardo. He's running up the end for me. He's at
really
the
he's probably my favorite. He's the leader.
Oh really? He's like the Cyclops of the group. Like
he's the captain of the hockey team in my eyes. He's the Kid Crosby. But now when the book started, all the little turtles there, they all wore red because they're just known as they wear these little red scarves around their eyes. They're little masks. And,
yep, and they have the same kind of scarves on like the elbows and you know their knees and stuff. They got them all over.
Yeah, so yeah, in the early issues of they actually all wore red, and then they mixed in the colors and stuff as they went. So Donatello's
purple. It's a black and white comic, so even that kind of you only got from the covers.
Yeah, on the covers, all red.
Yeah.
Donatello's purple, and he has a bow staff. Your boy Raphael has got the size like Elektra,
mm-hmm.
and he's red, right?
Yep.
And then and Michelangelo as the nunchucks, and he's orange. And my boy Leonardo as the swords, and he wears blue. And the original book, they weren't crazy pizza-loving turtles. That was in the cartoon that started, right?
I believe the cartoon started the whole pizza thing. Yeah, which is crazy.
I know, because it's so like ingrained into who they are, it seems. But
yeah. Yeah. I've looked back at some of those Mirage comics because I never read them when I was a kid or anything like that. They were pretty, I think they were hard to get for one thing. Boy, that series got weird fast. Like, there's stuff going on.
But it was like more serious, right? From what I call, like the early issues.
Yeah.
Was it, like, more like not the Cowabunga dude stuff. None of that.
Maybe not so much that, but it was definitely comedic. Like, even just like the side characters were comedic. Like, it was definitely trying to be funny, but maybe in a more adult way, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be a good description of it, I would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then the show, they really got famous with the cartoons, and the Nintendo game was awesome, and then the arcade game, I remember. They had the first
Nintendo game, I don't know, that one's kind of weird. I like the second one and the third one a lot better.
Well, I don't know the sequence. I just remember there's a really good Nintendo one where it was like almost not a free open world situation, but you had to go all over the city and there's a map and stuff, right? And
yeah, that's the first one. Yeah, where you can
see, drive I like that one.
Turtle van and stuff. That one's hard as hell. I did try to beat it with the help of an emulator because you could like save your game. So,
wow, you're really into the turtles. You know your turtles. Oh, what the?
Sure am. I was huge on the Ninja Turtles when I was a kid. I would get all the toys I could possibly find. Yeah, they're my thing for many, many years. And yeah, series I used to read a lot.
See, I was like probably about 12 or so when the cartoon came out.
Oh.
So, yeah, I was a little bit. I mean, I watched it, but I wasn't like a huge turtle guy. I mean, I was a little older, I guess.
You weren't writing the fan letters or anything like that.
No. But, and the creators, we mentioned them before, what, Kevin Eastman, Peter Laird, and, of course, Eastman, he was married to Julie Strain. That's how I know. Yeah.
That's his claim to fame.
Then he sold, you mentioned Mirage Comics or Mirage Studios is what Eastman and Laird, they called their company, and they put out
because it was basically a Mirage because it wasn't really a company.
I didn't even look into that.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. So Eastman got tired of doing the turtles first, and he sold his stake to Laird, and mm-hmm. then in what was it, 2009-ish. Laird sold everything to Nickelodeon.
Yeah, that's right.
Viacom.
He made a boatload.
$60 million.
Oof. Must be nice.
I was a little shocked that number is that low.
Well, I don't know. I guess
it was in 2009, not exactly the height of their popularity or anything.
Yeah. It's not like the Turtles are Star Wars where you're getting billions, I don't think. Like, you're making Michael Bay movies by that point. Like,
they've been cranking up. Well, the movies come after that, or I think the newer movies came after, right?
They could have been, yeah. But they seem to always be doing a version of it as a cartoon, nonstop on like Nickelodeon. So they keep rebooting it and relaunching it.
I believe Laird retained rights to put out 16 black and white Turtle comics a year. Something. And Eastman and him, they had grown apart over the years. Like, Eastman was living out in California and Laird was still back east. And they really weren't chums after a while. And so they went their separate ways. But then Eastman came back and was helping with Laird do stuff, like as a consultant or something. So
And you still see him doing some art. Like, I'll see him do, like, you know, variant covers for Turtle books these days. So he's still kind of in it. So,
well, yeah, it's nice to hear. Nice to hear. Maybe one day Mike L and I will come back together and do a flea market fantasy again. We'll see.
As long as he doesn't try to buy back his portion of this show, because boy, is this raking in the cash for me.
It's, yeah, that's why people were probably alarmed when they heard you had a work commitment. They thought we're just ripped off of this. No. We do this for the love.
Right.
Anyway, anything else we need to know about the Turtles? I think everyone knows about the Turtles, right?
I definitely loved this particular series when I was a kid. X-Men kind of started my whole buying comics on the regular, but when I was a kid, like, whenever we'd go to the mall to go to, like, I'd make my mom take us to Walden Books and look through the comic rack and usually get an issue of these. So I don't have a lot of, like, you know, continuous issues, like, back to back, but every once in a while I would get one of these and love it.
That's pretty sweet. And yeah. I guess we should mention their villain. The big villain is Shredder, right? That guy Shredder. Yeah.
Although not so much in this series. Like, at a certain point, like, probably by issue 20, they've mostly done away with Shredder. It'll pop up every once in a great while, but this series focused on a lot more, like, different characters, which was kind of cool.
But he's, like, a ninja guy with, like, the metal spikes on him and everything, or blades or whatever.
So impractical. I don't know how he gets in the bathroom.
And the other villain from the cartoons is in here, Krang. Remember that guy? Well, what's his deal? He's just like a pink blob, something.
I forget what they call them. They're a race of people. Oh man, I can't remember what they're called.
Sorry. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I guess even in the Mirage comics, like, there was those type of aliens were there, but I think they were more just kind of passive, and they weren't even villains so much as they were just like the people running the TGRI building that created the ooze. Or TCRI, I think it was called in the comics. But, they weren't even villains, and I don't think Krang himself existed, but I think that was also a cartoon show invention.
Yeah, it seems like it. April O'Neil, was she in the comics?
Yes, although she was not a news reporter in the original comics. I believe she was a scientist.
Okay.
Yeah, and she was Baxter Stockman's, side, you know, assistant.
When I was going through the comic book covers and stuff, I saw Casey O'Neill is there, right? Isn't that his name? Casey O'Neill? Casey Jones. Yeah. Who's Casey O'Neill? She's a fighter in the UFC.
Jones. I mean, Casey Jones and April O'Neill did end up getting married.
Yes, they did combine. Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
He took her last name, I guess.
Yes. Jack White. All right, so those are all the key players, but those April O'Neill and Casey, they're not in this issue at all.
No, actually, Casey Jones, I don't know if he was ever in this series at all. Like, I know at one point April was dating, like, some Asian guy who could turn into a giant dragon.
Oh, that's a neat trick.
Yeah.
When I was saying he's on the covers, I'm talking the original series, because I wasn't going to do a top 11 for this book's covers. I went back to the original.
Why not do both?
So anyway, all right, let's look at this cover, Jank.
Oh, we should also mention one thing about this series. It kind of got canceled out of nowhere. They had this big arc that they were planning. I don't know if it was so much a finale, it's just kind of a tying a lot of things together, called the Forever War. It was supposed to be like a four issue arc. They had advertised it, you know, in the previous issues, and then all of a sudden they got canceled. So this whole Forever War has always been lingering out there. And I guess in like 2008, 2009, somewhere around there, like, they were like, okay, we're going to bring it back. We're going to finally do the Forever War. We're going to put out four more issues of the series and just kind of close it out. Like, they got the artist, the writer back again, and they're like, all right, we're going to do this. And then, like, some company got bought out by somebody else, and it got canceled again.
Oh, no.
So this series still kind of remains unfinished.
Any word on why it got canceled the first time around? Just the poor sales or just the...
Yeah, it must be. I guess maybe the Turtles fad had kind of ended. I think the animated series was probably on its last legs by this point anyway. But, I mean, Archie, come on. You can't turtle books.
That's still one of the greatest
stories every month.
One of the greatest mysteries of human existence is how Archie Comics continues to publish Archie Comics. Like, who is buying them? I don't understand.
DOT fan and who else?
Yeah, that's it. All right, so now let's look at the cover. Hey, look who's in the corner box there, Jank. My boy Leonardo. Because he's the leader. All right. Go ahead and describe it for us.
All right, so sadly this issue kind of peaks with the cover. it's all downhill from here. The art's actually pretty decent here, but it says Eastman and Laird's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Got the typical Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles logo. Then it's got Adventures under the bottom. And then it says Archie Adventure Series over in the corner box there. Only a dollar. Pretty solid for 89. And then it's a big old wrestling scene. You got the wrestling ring there. And all four turtles are being trounced by a dog man who has four arms, who's standing in the middle of the ring, choking them out. And they're all wearing these fancy space costumes, as we'll come to find out why in this issue here.
Yeah, do you know the reason why they had these particular costumes, besides from being their wrestling costumes? Do you know the history?
They were just wrestling costumes, yeah.
No, but actually, yeah, go ahead.
I know Raphael, he did end up liking his, and he kind of kept his after they went back home for a while and would kind of switch back and forth between this one and the red bandana.
Yeah, the costumes are pretty dopey. Like, I think Donatello's basically just has a towel over his head and a belt around him, it seems. And, like, Leonardo's got a wacky...
Kind of Macho Man, I guess.
not really. He's got, like, a weird hat. But Raphael's, like, all in black, a full-body black leotard.
Yeah. So
it basically looks like a silhouette,
essentially. It's like his symbiote costume. He came back
from... Yeah, there you go. But the reason why these costumes were used is Eastman and Laird actually designed these costumes back in 1983. They were considered... They were going to be some of the regular outfits. And they decided, you know what, these look pretty terrible, we're not going to use them, so they put them on a shelf somewhere. And so when this came along and they needed wrestling outfits, the writers here said, you know what, let's go back, that's an interesting bit of turtle history, let's have them wear those costumes. So that's pretty cool, because when we get to that part of the issue and they wear these outfits, I'm like, these are terrible wrestling outfits, these are just awful. Like, why would you wear these? But I guess if it's an odd past history, a little in-joke, I guess, but I wouldn't say it serves the story at all, because the costumes are terrible. They look awful. Anyway, all right, so yeah. But
they definitely made the right choice simplifying things.
Yeah, WrestleMania is right around the corner.
Yeah, that's right.
So by the time this airs, will be about a week away. So,
but I picked this one specifically. Yeah. Unfortunately,
so I appreciate
the art.
Yeah.
The art let us down, but.
Any excuse to get pro wrestling in the show, I'm always excited for. But yeah. Then I read the book, and I was like, eesh. All right, anyway. So we open it up. I don't know who did the art on that cover. It doesn't look like it's Lawson, right? Like, you can see the artist on the side, but I can't.
Yeah, that's the normal guy. I think it was, let me see what his name is. I think he did the next issue. I think that's Ken Mitroney.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
All right, so we open it up. Hey, there's your boy, Raphael. He's the first thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that picture of Raphael. He looks cool. So angry.
He's got like a Billy Idol kind of smirk grimace going on.
But he's just basically, this first page is just giving a recap of how they got here.
The last couple issues, like probably 4 and 5.
Why don't you explain it for us, Jake?
So he starts telling about how they were in an aquarium in New Jersey and they met Man Ray, who was a oceanographer who kind of like got. He was studying some runoff that was going into the ocean, and you know, it took him away, and it was all full of that ooze that turns people into mutants. And so, since he had been dealing with manta rays earlier, he turned into Man Ray. Man Ray becomes a character in a kind of side book they have based off this series called The Mighty Mute Animals.
Okay.
There's a lot of these like side characters like Mondo Gecko and all that, and they all kind of team up at a certain point, and then like. I believe they all end up getting murdered. Like,
whoa.
Yeah. They basically have this like team of almost like the Reavers from the X-Men who just show up and like murder them all. I'm like, wow, this is intense.
Yeah. It's not good.
But yeah, so they talk about how they met him, and then they went down to, they were on a bridge over a river that runs deep beneath the city, and they met Leatherhead, the old alligator guy who was in the show. And
he skipped right past Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah. They were involved in the whole Man Ray adventure. They kind of left them floating in the river there. But yeah, they see Leatherhead, who was a normal guy. He just wants to go back to being a normal guy, but he's got to get a hold of this turnstone that this kind of swamp lady, swamp hag, I guess you would call her. She's got a guarding turnstone.
The swamp sorceress, I think is just all they call her. Oh, no, Mary Bones. Mary Bones is her name.
Yeah. And so then she disappears, and all of a sudden the turtles were gobbled up by a floating cow head. taken to this weird other world.
Yeah, now if that sounds crazy to hear the description, yeah, that's exactly what happened, though. A giant floating cow head. I think it's called Cowlick or something.
Right? Yeah, Cuddly the Cowlick. Yeah.
Cuddly the Cowlick. And it's just a floating cow head that acts as like an interdimensional spaceship or something. I don't know. And it sucks up the turtles and spits them out in some outer space world.
Yeah.
And that's where the book really begins.
And we see two guys that are kind of made of like sticks and plants named Stump and Sling. They're kind of the Vince McMahon of this wrestling outfit.
Without the head pooping.
Yeah. We don't know.
So, yeah, they run this Intergalactic Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
And they want the turtles to wrestle in their show tonight, because they want to have like a little elimination match. They want to have their two big stars face some new competition. And then the idea is, I guess, just to have their two big stars then face for the championship. Build up. So they're just basically to do the job to one of these top guys, right? That's all they want for the turtles to do, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. They want to have it be Ace Duck versus Crying Hound eventually, but no, doesn't work out that way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, Ace Duck is basically just a big Jack Duck. He's really big.
Yeah. I guess this varies from, I believe, I don't remember if he ever fully appeared on the TV show. But I remember there was one where they were like watching him on TV, and it was like a TV show, but like a duck pilot guy. But that's what the action figure was like. He was not nearly this jacked. He was wearing like a pilot's costume and stuff like that.
I had no idea. Their action figure.
Like a 1920s duck and everything. Pilot costume.
All right. So yeah, the tree guy is still explaining things to the turtles. And he's like, hey, maybe if you guys are light years from home, maybe if you play ball here with us, we'll send you back home. Does that sound like a deal? Is that a deal? And then we cut, and we see.
And he's like, oh yeah, but in case you didn't notice, like you're weaponless, so you can't really fight back right now.
Yeah, because the cow still has the weapons in his mouth.
Apparently. Yep.
Yeah. This is also weird. All right, so then Shredder, we cut to him, and he's talking to Krang. Right? Mm-hmm. Krang's on a computer screen there. And Krang's mad at Shredder because he didn't get that turnstone thing. And Shredder says, well, it's that Leatherhead and those meddlesome turtles, you know? It caused problems for me. And Krang says, I don't care. Just get the damn turnstone, you know? I don't want to hear.
Very much the dynamic that they had on the cartoon show was Shredder was always crying to Krang about how he failed and, you know, those damn turtles.
Yeah, so Krang hangs up and says, don't call me, I'll call you, fool. And that's it. All right, so now we're back to the wrestling promoters, the big tree guy and the little, I don't know, what's that little green guy? Is he like a, I don't know what he is. I guess he's a bush.
Yeah, he's like a bush, yeah, like a shrubbery. But apparently he grows money off of his head. So I don't know if he's collecting the money from this thing or if he can just grow money. Why do they even need a wrestling outfit? Like, just take the money off of his head all the time.
Well, it seems like whenever they have a good idea or they're booking a good match, the money sprouts on his head.
Mm.
Because then when they, spoiler alert, that the turtles end up winning their match and it kind of screws their plans up, all the money disappeared off his head.
Ripples up, yeah.
Yeah. And then when they came to another solution, the money started sprouting again. I guess.
Well, I would just come up with ideas and you never actually have to have the matches. Just like, oh, what about this?
Yeah. So they settle in on the plan here to get the Turtles into the match, and the Turtles agree to fight. And they say, I'd like to introduce your opponent, the four-armed scourge of the Bohunkian galaxy, Crying Hound.
Yeah, this guy sucks.
My name is Crying Hound. That's all he says the whole time. My name.
This must be a commentary on what they think of professional wrestlers at the time, because, yeah, he's not very interesting or doesn't have anything to say other than his own name. He's basically Forrest Gump. My name's Crying Hound.
And I guess, is that an Elvis Presley reference? Nothing but a hound dog crying all the time? Crying Hound?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Not the best.
He looks more like a Looney Tunes character than like a Turtles character. I don't know.
Yeah, like he looks very much like a Looney Tunes guy.
Yeah.
So, all right, they got to fight old Crying Hound, and then they show off Ace Duck. And he's all smiling and everything, and he's all jacked up and everything. And he's going to fight Leatherhead. So they thought Leatherhead fell off a bridge down into a dark abyss, and they thought they'd never see Leatherhead again. But now he's on the same alien planet, and the tree stump guy says, hey, yeah, we saved him from the jaws of death.
And we gave him this domino mask to hide his identity. There's so many alligator men.
So then the tree says, all right, everyone's been introduced. Time to get in your costumes. The turtles say, costumes? And then the next page, Stump Arena presents Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Doo-doo-doo. And they're in the ring, and we see the crowd. The crowd's a bunch of alien weirdos.
Oh, boy, this crowd looks brutal. Like, this looks like something, like, I remember we had these letter people drawings and balloons in, like, kindergarten to teach you how to do letters. Like, this looks like that kind of level of art, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to get into it now, but yeah, the art here, there are a couple panels, like close-ups of the turtles that look cool, but it's just like the layout of the panels, all the panels are very rudimentary. Again, I guess it's for kids. It's designed for young children, so you get a lot of just six-panel pages, and just the perspectives on the panels are all the same. No interesting compositions whatsoever. Just very, like, I would be shocked if a sixth grader couldn't have done most of this.
I could have done this.
When I was in sixth grade, this is the kind of comics I was making. I was doing this kind of stuff. So,
I guess the one thing he's mastered on the next page is he's very good at drawing butts. I guess the creatures. He's really focused on doing that.
Yeah, because both on the next page, we get a shot from behind Crying Hound, and he's flexing his forearms, but we get a good shot of his butt, and then the turtles are in the background there looking at him. And then the very next panel, we see Ace Duck with his butt and his duck tail sticking out of his underpants. And then Leather Hound is facing him, or what's his name? Leatherhead. Leatherhead. Leather Hound.
Can't have two hounds. Yeah. Oh, we should also mention, I don't know if we mentioned that both of these matches are going to be happening simultaneously, like 20 feet away from each other, which seems like bad planning. If you want to maximize your interest, maybe you space these things out a little bit instead of having them both be at the same time. I like to put things in Rocky terms. That'd be like having, you know, Rocky rematch with Clubber Lang at the same time that Apollo Creed is fighting Ivan Drago. Like, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, these guys aren't good promoters. They don't know what they're doing. I have no idea. And it also looks like they're in the Flintstones world, because we get like a bird dinging the bell to start the match.
Yeah. Then, you should have said it's a living, but sadly you did not.
So first we see the turtles. They're surrounding the Crying Hound guy. And now we cut to Ace Duck, and Leatherhead is running at him. Yep. And then we see that dopey cow in the middle of the page.
Yeah, the cow's getting progressively sicker, it appears to be. He almost looks drunk, or like he's got some food poisoning or something.
And Ace Duck is just too quick for Leatherhead. He's dancing all around him. And
he's just kind of talking crap, like, oh, you're beneath me, whatever. It is to laugh later, Gator.
And the turtles all try to jump Crying Hound, and all he does is say, Well, he does another little
bit. Like a Pokemon.
My first name being the name before my last name. He says that, I guess. And then, I don't know.
That's AJ guy. You can call me Ray, and you can call me Jay.
But Crying Hound's having his way with the turtles. He's spinning them all around. Ace Duck's toying with Leatherhead. Then Leatherhead grabs his leg, and he starts swinging him around. And Crying Hound, it looks like he's got the turtles beat. But who is this? Is this – which turtle kicks him?
I think this is Leonardo.
Yeah, it looks like a police scarf on his head.
Yeah.
So Leatherhead chucks Ace Duck, and Leonardo goes flying through the air with a kick right in the belly of Crying Hound. And it knocks him flying out of the ring, and Leatherhead chucks Ace Duck, and they both slam into each other in midair and knock each other out.
Yep.
So,
wow. I guess the excitement of having two matches at once. You could have this happen.
So the big money draws for the wrestling promotion are both KO'd. And the promoters are very sad. And then the cow burps up all their weapons, the turtles' weapons.
Yep. The cow looks very sick by this point, kind of like Larry after, Larry versus Beer, the LCS hockey show.
So now after the turtles get their weapons, the promoter's like, uh-oh. And all the money falls off the little bush tree head guy, whatever. And Leo says, you got to take us back to Earth now, all right? None of this nonsense.
Yeah, we got our weapons.
But Leatherhead says, hey, you know what? I don't want to go back there. Yeah, he'll nunchuck the hell out of him. He's like, I don't want to go back to Earth. I'm a freak on Earth, but here, people love me. I can be a heavyweight champ. You know? Alligator.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
You know what they let you do up here? Let me tell you. Let me give this man on the horn. I'll tell you lots of stories.
So the minute he says he wants to stay, and then they say, we could have a new champ on our hands, all the money starts popping up again on the bushhead guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the cow says, all right, turtles, let's go. And he just sucks them up.
Yeah, it's a giant tongue coming out. And we get a big old gulp.
And as they're flying through, first we cut back to Krang and his little rolling golf ball or whatever the hell he's in.
The Technodrome.
The Technodrome. Yeah. Now, see this part here. Krang says, hey, at least I can, that's Shredder. He really screwed up my day. But at least I can relax and watch some Intergalactic Wrestling Federation or whatever. And he turns on the TV and the show's ending, you know? And he's like, dang, I missed it. Wouldn't it have been better if he turns on the TV and he sees the turtles there? And he's like, those turtles. You know, he's all right. Turtles. But
yeah, I guess the joke is just that he can't even get the timing right on his TV show.
That's not much of a joke. I think it would be better if, like, he's very excited to see his favorite wrestling show. And the turtles ruin that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep, they're everywhere.
But nope, he's just too late. He just misses everything. He's I missed my show. And then that's it.
I guess I got to watch Flex Seal infomercials.
So now we see the turtles. They're inside the cow's belly or his mouth or wherever. And I just see their eyes and everything else is black. And then the cow spits them out onto the rooftop of a building. They're like, yay, we're home. But then they look down, Jank, and they see the whole city's flooded and all the buildings are destroyed and decaying and everything. And they're like, what? Where are we? And the cow says, sorry, I screwed up. I sent you a couple like 100 years in the future there or whatever.
Yeah. Although not even that far, I don't think. But it's in the future. He took him back to the wrong time. And
he says about 100 years. 100 years from
now. Oh, yeah.
So.
Because they do end up revisiting this later on, and the turtles are still alive in this time.
But the cow there, he gets out his heavy-handed glove, and he says, here, what this is environmentalism, and the polar ice caps melted. And flooded the world. So you turtles, you better get your act together there on Earth and take care of the environment. Okay, now I'll take you back to your planet. And he takes him back there and boom, spits him out on the roof. And then he just flies away. And then we see a lightning bolt crack in the sky and it starts to rain. And Raphael says, right in the middle of a storm. And that's how it ends.
Yeah. Yeah. definitely could have done with that environmental message, except for the fact that like this was that like foreshadowing for things that would happen later on in the series. So that saves it for me. Other than that, okay. I would have been like, well, that's just heavy-handed and stupid. But they do end up. You do see the turtles from that time period later on. They become a very big part of the book. Like, I think like Leonardo and Michelangelo are captured. So just like Donatello, who's just wearing like a robe, and like Raphael, who's lost an eye, and there's like a mutant shark and stuff like that from the future that they end up fighting. And it's a cool story later on. So it does set up for that. Okay. So I'm going to give it a slight pass.
All right. Yeah, that's understandable. But for me, not knowing that, I read this like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, okay. It really comes out of nowhere. Like, it had nothing to do with this wrestling thing. Like, and it was like a page and a half long, maybe. It's like, well, are you just filling time? Like, what are you doing here?
And then that ending, the cow just goes, spits him out on the roof, then leaves, and it starts the storm. And like, oh, that's supposed to be something? Like, is that supposed to be fun? Like, I don't know. Is that supposed to be a joke? Like, everyone's supposed to laugh at that? Or I don't know
if it's supposed to be a joke. I think it's just setting up for the next issue. It looks like they're firing screw loose in the next issue, and there's probably a storm going on at the time.
That doesn't help me.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. There's a storm in the next issue, so we need to hook them with the storm on the last. But no, that does nothing.
Someone's got to warn these people that they might need a jacket.
Wait, what's on the last page there? Don't they say, hey, TMNT fans, send your letters and artwork to Turtle Tracks. Maybe some of you are better artists. That's
better than this.
I'm sorry, Jim Lawson. Where is that your name, Jim Lawson? Yeah, I apologize for being too harsh. I'm sure you're doing the best you can. So anyway, the writer fellow, like I said, it was really Stephen Murphy under a pen name. He did a bunch of Turtle stuff for Eastman and Laird as part of their Mirage Studios. In 2006, he did the hard-boiled detective series Umbra for Image Comics. Did you ever hear of that?
No, never did.
That's all I got on him. Both of these guys basically just did all Turtle stuff their whole lives. Jim Lawson, he was a writer and artist for Turtles for over 20 years.
Wow.
So they must have liked his work. So.
I've definitely seen his work other places. Like, I feel like, you know, books I had when I was a kid or something like that, or like coloring books or something along those lines. But
he's about right.
Yeah.
And he left in 2009 when Laird sold Turtles to Viacom. He said, all right, I'm out too. I'm just gone. So, that's it. That's all the history I have for either of the creators. So the rating here, Jank, not very good. I don't know what was going on. Attempts at humor were terrible.
It wasn't a very good fight either.
No.
Like,
kind I of love wrestling. Like, oh, you give me any wrestling in a comic book, I'm going to love it. I did not love this.
This is how I feel when I watch actual wrestling and they're not coming anywhere near each other with their punches.
How dare you?
Like, this is terrible.
this was not, it didn't really capture like the spirit of professional wrestling, really. A little bit it tried, but the whole wrestling thing only lasted like, what, 4 pages? Maybe 8 panels?
Pretty short.
Wasn't a lot going
like
on there.
Brian Hound just has his own name for the most part, so it's like, this really isn't that good. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you guys even trying?
Yeah, I don't know. And then the two separate matches going on in the separate rings and cutting back and forth. Yeah. I didn't like that.
Because like Ace Duck would go on like monologues, but then it would cut back to the Crying Hound stuff, and it was like, wait, this is hard to track. I don't like it.
Yeah, you got to build up. You got to shine up the baby face. You got to build heat and then come back. What are we doing? This wasn't good. So, I didn't like the story. The environmental thing was horrible, and then the ending was dumb. So I hated everything about this. All right.
Yeah, even the Shredder and Krang stuff just felt unnecessary and tacked on.
Yeah.
The story forward
He turns on the wrestling show and he's late? That's the big joke?
Yeah.
It
accomplished nothing.
That's how I feel about this entire issue. It accomplished nothing.
I mean, this was one I'm sure I wanted to get when I was a kid, because I kept hearing about, you know, whenever Raphael would wear that black costume, I'd be like, oh, when did he get this? And it would, like, reference the issue that he got. It's like, if only I had read issue 7. But now that I have, like, I'm kind of glad I didn't when I was a kid. Might have ruined my childhood.
Maybe if I was 6 years old and this was 1989, I'd have loved this. But I'm a bitter old man, and it's many years later. This was not fun at all.
This series did get a lot better as it went along. Like, it did start really finding its own voice, and it did have more mature subject matter than just this, where it was just goofy and stupid.
All right, so there you go. I think that's all we can say about this. Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, not really.
So you would recommend, though, if people like the Turtles, maybe check out the original run. Or if you try this series, try later issues, maybe.
Yes. Like later. Yeah. Give it a little time. Maybe like the late later. 20s, somewhere around there. But,
all right.
Yeah, some cool stuff does start happening eventually, but
because of the restrictions of this radio show,
can't
that?
Yep, you and your strict
70s or 80s. That's it. All right, so Jackie, I'm giving this 1 out of 10. This was not enjoyable.
Yeah. I don't know if I can give it a 2.
You can go ahead and give it a 2. Love the Turtles.
Okay, I'll give it a 2 for being the Turtles and some good Raphael shots. I guess I'll give them that.
You finally found the origin of the black costume. You got to experience.
Yep. Just like Spider-Man, he got it in space.
Man, this was a very lightweight week for us. Last week, we made Bob do all the heavy lifting, 64 pages. And then,
this one, I was done with it in about 2 minutes. I would say.
Yes. Like I said, all the pages are very simplistic in the panel layout. Some would be just be 2 panels on a page. A lot of, it's a quick read. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, all right. So next week, to make up for that, you having a light book, I was going to pick a graphic novel. There should be a cool one with the Hulk and the Thing. Did you ever read that one?
I don't think so. No. Was the one of the official Marvel graphic novels?
Yeah, the official Marvel graphic novels back in the day. So maybe I'll pick it at some point because it looks pretty cool. But for next week, I decided to go back to DC. This character, I know a good bit about him. He's pretty cool, but I don't know his origin exactly or his whole history or anything. But he seems like a pretty cool guy. So from 1988, Martian Manhunter issue 2.
Ooh, I've been thinking of picking this.
Oh, really? I didn't know the series existed. I was thinking the only Martian Manhunter appearances would be really early, like in the 70s or whatever. We'll get into his history later. Because he would appear in like Brave and the Bold or something, backstories. But then I saw this limited series, and I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. The writer is J.M. DeMatteis, but the artist is a fellow named Mark Badger, and the art looks pretty spectacular.
Really? I had the opposite. I'm like, I was excited about J.M. DeMatteis, but the art, I was like, oof.
I love the art.
Really?
I love it. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, we can discuss that next week, I guess.
Next week, yeah. So we'll get it.
Number 2, you said?
Yeah, number 2, just because the cover would make a better thumbnail. So, sure. Like that.
It's all about that, yep.
That's usually the tiebreaker.
Hunter, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just know him from the cartoons, you know? But he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, check him out next week. So that's next week here on Flea Market Fantasy. If you're watching on YouTube, again, please like and subscribe. We appreciate the support. So until next week, don't get any jank on you.